chapter, and his message today is the joyful church.
Good morning. This is what's known as Palm Sunday, and that's because the branches that were put down in front of Jesus as he entered into the city of Jerusalem, a time of praising God for Christ, the Messiah. So Palm Sunday, maybe you want to say next to the person next to you, Happy Palm Sunday. All right. Now, I want to ask your prayer also that this coming, God has opened up a door for us this coming Wednesday at the Santa Fe Towers Apartments. They have a community room there, and they've invited us to come and have a Bible study there. At least 20 Chinese that live there, and a lot of Jews that live there, older people that live there. They have about, I was told yesterday, they have a 2-month to 2-year waiting list to get into that place. So that's for those who live there. But anyway, we need to pray for this opportunity and pray for some co-workers that might be able to help with this, and pray that God would open hearts as we go in there and have a Bible study from 10 o'clock Wednesday morning to 11:30. And then also be in prayer. This Friday, of course, is known as Good Friday. And on Good Friday, there will be a Lord's Supper here. And then Easter Sunday, next Sunday at 10 a.m., we have a baptism service. And so be in prayer for that. And also 10:30, our Easter service. And please invite friends or neighbors. All right. So today, we're looking at the joyful church. And this verse here, Acts chapter 8 and verse 8. So there was great joy in that city. Great joy in that city. Let's bow in prayer as we begin. Oh God, we thank You that You are our Father, and by faith we are God's family. We thank You that Christ is our head, and by grace we are Christ's body. We thank You that the Holy Spirit is our anointing, and by His power we live. We thank You for the Bible, it's Your book, and by inspiration we have God's Word. And we wish You to anoint and open our ears to hear God's Word. And we ask You to anoint and open our eyes to understand God's Word. We ask You to anoint and open our hearts to receive God's Word. We ask You to anoint and change our minds that we might follow God's will. We ask You to anoint and use our hands to do God's will. We ask You to anoint and use our feet to walk in God's will. We ask You to anoint and speak Your message through Your servant. We ask You to anoint and help Your church to be God-seeking, kingdom-praying, connecting with God, caring for others, committing to missions, consecrating to ministry. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. We've been studying the churches. Our theme for this year is Christ will build His church. So we looked at the 7 churches in Revelation. And now, last time, we started our study in the book of Acts. And Acts, we're looking here at the churches. And Christ builds His church. It's interesting, the book of Acts, the message of that is, here are the acts of the Spirit of Christ through the apostles. And the acts were the Spirit's directing and controlling and empowering ministry that founded and strengthened the church and caused it to grow. Now, the Acts is a time of transition from the ministry of Jesus to that of the apostles, from the old covenant to the new covenant, from Israel as God's witness to the church as God's witness, and from Judaism as going out and the church as coming in. The Acts also shows us the fulfillment of the Great Commission, starting at the witness in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Now think of this here. The Acts is also continues the continuing of the acts of the Spirit of in the churches. Now, there are 28 chapters in the book of Acts. It ends kind of suddenly because really it adds to that. Every generation of church adds to the Spirit of God working through the churches. And so we see here today, we come to Samaria. And Samaria, as we look at the map here and take a look at where it's located, some things about Samaria, that it's about 42 miles north of Jerusalem. Last time we looked at the Jerusalem church. Now, the Samaritans were a half-breed of people. If you look at history here, they were a mixture of the Jew and Gentile. The northern kingdom, remember, had fallen to the Assyrians. And they had sent people there, and they intermarriage caused a mixture of the Jews and the Gentiles. And because of that, there was animosity between the Jews and the Samaritans. We find this in the New Testament. In Luke 9, Jesus rebuked His disciples for their hostility to the Samaritans. And the Samaritans were hostile to them because of this. But yet Jesus gave the example to the disciples. He healed a Samaritan. We see that in Luke chapters 17, 16. And then He honored a Samaritan for his neighborliness, being a good neighbor, the good Samaritan. Praised him. And then, remember when Jesus healed the 10 lepers, only one returned to give thanks. And that one was a Samaritan. He asked drink of a Samaritan woman. And then, in John chapter 4, He preached to the Samaritans. So He clearly wanted His disciples to know that these were people that needed the gospel. These were people that He also came to save, the Samaritans. You know, I'm reminded of this. As we think about the animosity between these two people, the Jews and the Samaritans, you know, some of the Jews, well, I'd be glad to tell anybody the gospel, but not the Samaritans. You know, I had a friend years ago, David Ho, and he was started a Chinese restaurant. Couldn't speak very much English, so I helped translate for him for some of his workers and some of the business he had to do. And one day I remember David telling me, "I do not like black people." And I said, "David, you shouldn't say that. Why do you say that?" And David said, "Well, he had gone, filled up his car with gas, and one had come and robbed him while he was filling up his car with gas." And I said, "Well, that's too bad that happened. But that's no reason to hate all the black people, African Americans." And then I remember a few weeks passed by, and David said, I need to tell you something." And I said, "What is it, David?" And he said, "You know, the other day, I had a flat tire, and my car broke down alongside the road. And this black man stopped to help me. And he was a Christian, and he told me about God." And I said to him, "You know, it's not the outside of a man. Remember, it's the inside of a man. It's the heart." And so, you know, never look just on the outside of a person. "Oh, that's a Samaritan." But remember, God looks on the heart. Now, the Samaritan church was founded by Philip during his first journey. We read about that today. And the Samaritan church represents the joyful church. Now, we talked last week about the Spirit-filled church. Here we find the joyful church, full of joy. Now, it's interesting, Samaria means a mountain of watching. And nearby there, Samaria, was the Mount Gerizim. And Mount Gerizim is a very important mountain In the Old Testament, Moses pronounced, told the people that they need to obey God. And on that place there, he pronounced blessings if they obeyed God on Mount Gerizim. And then the next mountain was Mount Ebal, and there were cursings. And the Samaritans worshipped. They thought because of this mountain was so special, they watched this mountain. They thought that this was a place you ought to worship God. But as we think about joy, we don't worship the place of blessings. We worship the blesser, the one who gives us blessings. So don't worship the place where you receive the blessing. Worship the one who gives you the blessings. And that is the one who gives us joy. So as you look here, the Spirit of God gives us instructions here about what happened here in Samaria. In Acts chapter 8, let me just kind of summarize this story for you. When the persecution had started in Jerusalem, the believers were scattered throughout the region, and they went and told people about the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so Philip went to the city of Samaria, and he preached Christ, and the Holy Spirit allowed him to perform miracles among the people. Unclean spirits were cast out, and they screamed as they were cast out. The paralyzed were healed as well as the lame. The people of the city were amazed at what they saw, and they listened carefully to his preaching, and they were filled with joy at what they heard. They were filled with joy. The people had been following the witchcraft of a man named Simon. But when they heard the gospel of Christ, they received it with joy. And Simon also believed and was baptized with the others. Now the apostles heard what had happened to the people of Samaria, that they had welcomed the gospel. So they sent Peter and John to meet with them. And after they arrived, they prayed for the believers and asked God to give them the Holy Spirit. And so the two men then laid their hands on the people, and the people immediately received the Holy Spirit. We'll talk about that, what that means. Simon watched with amazement, and he offered Peter and John money and said, "Give me this power so that I can lay my hands on people and they'll receive the Holy Spirit." And Peter said, "You'll be destroyed along with your money. You're still holding on to your old ways. Evil lives inside of you. Bitterness is inside of you. Pray and ask God to get rid of it." And Peter and Simon cried out, "Please pray for me. I don't want these things to happen." So we see here the Spirit of Christ, commendation. Notice, first of all, that they were persecuted. On that great, a day of great persecution broke out against the church in Jerusalem. And all except the apostles were scattered throughout Judea and Samaria. Now, those who had been scattered by the persecution that broke out when Stephen was killed traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, Antioch, spreading the word only among the Jews. So we see the great persecution caused them to go out and spread the gospel. We talked about this last time. The Church of Jerusalem did not follow the Great Commission to go out and to give the gospel. It was the persecution that forced them to go out and give the gospel. And so they were scattered throughout Judea and Samaria. They had those who had been scattered. Now, the word dysphoria, see the picture here. It's a scattering. The Jews were scattered, but the word dysphoria, it's a good time of year for that, the spring. You see that, it's a scatter seed. Just like the wind blows, the seed is scattered during the springtime. Alright? And so, because of this persecution, the seed of God's Word was sown. It was scattered. So we see here the scattering of the seed, the Word of God, as it went forth. It was scattered. I'm reminded of the fact that during the Cultural Revolution in China, many were scattered from the cities to the countryside. Now, of course, that was those who maybe in the cities who had an education or maybe had had opportunity to read the Word of God, and they were scattered to the countryside, and many of them took the gospel with them. And so I'm reminded of this, the scattering. You know, at the time, they wonder, well, that's a horrible thing that happened. And God can take and use horrible things for His good. And so, as they were scattered to the countryside of China, they went also with sharing the gospel. And notice that these that were scattered, they were evangelists. They preached the Word of God wherever they went. Evangelist, somebody that shares the gospel. Philip, we saw that in chapter 6. He was a deacon. He was in the church. He was a leader. And he went down to the city of Samaria and he proclaimed the Messiah there. Philip was also an evangelist. We see later in Caesarea in Acts 21 where he is called an evangelist. That God called him to go forth and preach the Word of God. We were blessed last week to have Pastor Luke Chung here with us and his sharing with us not only the Word of God, but the gospel of God's love and sharing with us what faith means and what hope is and peace. And we're really continuing upon that this morning. What is joy? And then Philip was also a sign worker. Then God enabled these early believers, these signs that were done, miracles that were done during this time of transition. When the crowds heard Philip and saw the signs he performed, they all paid close attention to what he said. These with impure spirits, they shrieked, they yelled, they screamed as they came out of many. And many who were paralyzed or lame were healed. These signs were done among them. It's God's Spirit getting the attention of the people. God's Spirit can use many things to get our attention. We're so easily distracted. In the day which we live, we're so easily distracted. God sometimes uses different means to get our attention, that we would hear Him. And think about this too. Philip was a reaper to the labors of John the Baptist and of Jesus. John the Baptist had gone in the area of Samaria. And it's interesting that that John the Baptist had gone there, and it's traditionally that John the Baptist is buried in that city of Samaria, is where you find the tomb of John the Baptist. And of course, Jesus had also preached in Samaria. And so, remember this, when you share the gospel, maybe the seed has already been sown. God sends you just as a reaper to reap the harvest where He's already sown the seed of God's Word. And so they were filled with joy. It tells us that they were filled with the Holy Spirit and with joy. They were filled with joy. Now, there was great joy in that city. Happiness. We need to understand the difference between happiness and joy. Happiness is dependent upon our circumstances. All right? If we have everything goes right, it's easy to be happy. It's your birthday, happy birthday. It's a holiday, happy holiday. When everything goes your way, it's easy to be happy. But joy is different than happiness. We need to remember this, that joy is dependent upon God. So even in difficulties, as we sang today, in tears, in difficulties, in pain, we can have joy. And Nehemiah 8:10 reminds us that the joy of the Lord is your strength. That gives you the strength to go through those difficult times. So there's a difference between happiness and joy. The world has happiness, but only the Christian can find in God joy, joy in our hearts. I want you to see some verses here also about joy. Look at Luke chapter 2 and verse 10. Luke chapter 2 and verse 10. When they announced the birth of Christ, Luke chapter 2, the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause a great joy for all the people." The coming of Christ, our Savior, and receiving Him as our Savior brings great joy to your heart. Your heart is filled with joy. And that surpasses anything that you could find in this world that would bring happiness. Look with me another verse here in Luke. We see Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15. Jesus speaks of the parable of the lost sheep and the lost coin. And I want you to look with me at Luke 15 verse 7. And I tell you in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous people who do not need to repent. There is joy in our hearts when we repent and receive salvation. I don't know if you ever thought about this. There's joy in the presence of the angel. Now, who's in the presence of the angel? God. When a sinner repents and receives Jesus Christ as their Savior, joy. God rejoices over that. Look at again at verse 10 here of Luke 15. In the same way, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. There's joy in heaven. There's joy. God rejoices. And we also rejoice in our salvation. And so, here as they received Jesus Christ as their Savior, the Holy Spirit came upon them, they were filled with joy. And what happened because of that? Everywhere they went, they shared the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the city of Samaria was filled with joy. Now, if you want to give joy to others, we need to give them the gospel of Jesus Christ. They need to hear the Savior who can forgive them of their sin. Look again with me here, and we see in Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13 about joy. Acts 13 and verse 52. And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. Filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. When God's Spirit fills your heart and you yield yourself to God's Spirit, He gives you joy. And then we see one more verse here in Acts 15, verse 3. Look with me at Acts 15 and verse 3. We're reminded here that the church sent them on their way as they traveled through Phoenicia and Samaria and told them how the Gentiles had been converted. And this news made all the believers very glad, very glad. The word there is the same word for joy. They were filled with joy at hearing this news. And so, many are in the pursuit of happiness. But there is something greater than happiness. There is the joy that God gives. And as we pursue God, His Spirit gives us joy. And then we see next, not only were they filled with joy, But we see next that they were also they believed and were baptized. Now next Sunday we have a baptism service, and we need to pray for those who are wanting to be baptized as they give their testimony and as they take this really first step of obedience and following Jesus is to be baptized. That doesn't mean that that's where it stops. That's beginning. It's like commencement. We talk about commencement. A person graduates from high school. We say that's commencement. The word commencement means beginning. It's a beginning of your walk with Jesus. You decide to take that step of publicly proclaiming Him as your Lord and Savior. And so Acts 8:12, and when they believed Philip as he proclaimed the good news of the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. They were baptized. They believed in their heart. They confessed with their mouth. They were baptized, as Romans 10, 9 and 10 reminds us of this. And then they were baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit. Look here at Acts 14 to 17. I'd like you to read these words with me together. These were not in our reading we did earlier. So let's read these together, please. When the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had accepted the word of God, they sent Peter and John to Samaria. And when they arrived, they prayed for the new believers there that they might receive the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit had not yet come on any of them. And they had simply been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then Peter and John placed their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. We talked about this last time. The baptism of the Holy Spirit and the filling of the Holy Spirit. Let's review that. What's the difference between these two? In 1 Corinthians, remember 12:13, it reminds us that when we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior, that we're baptized into the body of Christ. We're baptized in the Spirit into the body of Christ. All right? So when you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are baptized in the Holy Spirit. And the filling of the Holy Spirit is where we allow Him to have complete control. We want Him to influence us. We want Him to control us, our lives. We yield to Him and ask for His filling. And this filling comes several times. We ask for it. We yield to Him. We want Him to reign, to have control of our lives. Think about this. You accept Jesus Christ in your heart that He might be on the throne of your heart, the throne of your life. Now, in the book of Acts, this is a transition period, remember. So, the Jews at Jerusalem, they received the Holy Spirit. There was the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The next group were the Samaritans. And so, with the laying on hands, they were baptized by the Holy Spirit. So we see the transition, these different groups. And then we'll see later where the Gentiles believed and they received and were baptized by the Holy Spirit. All right, but today, when we receive Jesus Christ individually, we are baptized by the Holy Spirit into the body of Christ. And so we need to understand what that means. Now here is the Spirit of Christ's condemnation to these believers here. Beware of this, where God sows His true believers, where God sows the wheat, Satan sows the counterfeits. He sows the weeds. All right? Matthew, we see that in the parable that Jesus gave in Matthew chapter 13. So here we see one thing that we see what he condemns here. Simon's works were energized by Satan. Now, for some time, a man named Simon had practiced sorcery, or we might use the word witchcraft, or you might use the word, divining, that of Satan, in that city. And he amazed the people of Samaria. So this is what Simon was before. He was in this matter of sorcery before he came to Christ. All right? He was energized by Satan. This is very demonic, this sort of thing. Sorcery and you know, this type of witchcraft and so forth. We know this is of the devil. And Simon's pride was also energized by the flesh. He boasted that he was someone great. And then Simon's praise was energized by the world. And all the people, both high and low in Samaria, they gave him their attention. And they exclaimed, "This man is rightly called the great power of God." Can you imagine somebody calling that person that? This is, of course, before the gospel came to Samaria there. And they followed him because he had amazed them for a long time with his sorcery. So he was involved in this practice of sorcery and had many people who followed him. All right? So this was Simon's past. Keep that in mind. This was Simon's past. Then what happened? Simon's decision. He decided to believe. He decided to be baptized. But notice here, Simon himself believed and was baptized. And he followed Philip everywhere, astonished by the great signs and miracles he saw. All right? He believed. He was baptized. He wanted to be discipled. He wanted to follow Philip. And then when Simon saw that the Spirit, remember he saw what Peter and John did, he saw that the Spirit was given at the laying on of the hands of the apostles, he offered them money. And he said, "Give me this ability so that everyone on whom I would lay my hands on, that they might receive the Holy Spirit." And Peter answered him, "May your money perish with you, because you thought you could buy the gift of God with money. You have no part or share in this ministry, because your heart is not right before God." They made it very clear to him that the position or the gifts of the Holy Spirit is not something you can buy with money. Salvation cannot be purchased with money. Simon here was reverting to his old ways. He was going back to his old ways. When we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior, we know the Scripture tells us we have a new man. Yes, we have the old man, the old flesh, but we have a new man, the Spirit of God within us. And we have to choose each day to follow the Holy Spirit. Now, the word we get here in our English is simony, and it is buying and selling of church positions or privileges. So he thought that this was something he could do. And again, he's reverting back to his old ways of thinking. When you become a child of God, you are what? You're a new creation. You don't go back to your old ways. You follow after Jesus Christ. And the Spirit of God leads you in the new ways, a new creation. So he's rebuking Simon here. Now notice here also, Simon's heart was energized by bitterness. Peter says to him here, "For I see that you are full of bitterness and captive to sin, to your old ways." Now, full of bitterness and captive to sin. There is a Chinese saying here that means bitterness ends, sweetness begins. Where we turn away from our old ways. So many people are living in the past. There's still so much bitterness in their life because they're living in the past. And we have to turn away from that past. We have to turn away from that bitterness, being captive to that the old ways and the sin. And we follow Christ. Sweetness begins. Joy begins. And so we must not let the root of bitterness to be in our hearts. Do not let the past rule over you. Do not let bitterness rule over you. You've asked for God's forgiveness. You have to turn away from that past and that root of bitterness and no longer to follow after that. And then Simon's prayer was energized by selfishness. Then Simon answered, "Pray to the Lord for me so that nothing you have said may happen to me." Now, it's interesting to take note here that you have to confess your own sin. No one can pray a repenting prayer for you. He reminded them that his heart was not right with God. When you realize that you're not in fellowship with God, either you're not saved or you've gone away from God, your heart is not in right with God, I can pray for you or someone else can pray for you, but only you can ask for forgiveness. Only you can make that relationship right. And you have to make that choice. Yes, others can pray for you. It's fine to ask people to pray for you. But that doesn't turn a person. That person has to, only that person can pray a repenting prayer for yourself. Only you can turn to God. And so Simon, it doesn't tell us here, what did Simon do next? So I think this is a warning to all of us. If your heart is not right with God, if my heart is not right with God, first of all, only salvation comes through Jesus Christ. But then we maintain that fellowship by walking with Him, walking in the Spirit. And if our heart is not right with God, we have to confess that sin. We have to turn to Him. And so this, keep this in mind. Happiness depends on circumstances. Joy depends on God. Now the Spirit of Christ's counsel. What counsel does He give here? And chapter 8, verse 22, He tells him here, repent of this wickedness. Like so many times we see in the letters to churches of Revelation, they were called upon to repent, to turn away from that evil. Repent of this wickedness and pray to the Lord in the hope that He may forgive you of having such a thought in your heart. So, He's reminding him, the Spirit of God is reminding him through Peter, you have to pray to God. You have to turn to God. You have to cry out to Him. The need for repentance. Repent of this wickedness. And the need for prayer. Pray to the Lord that He will give you forgiveness. That He will forgive you. I don't know if you've ever seen the acrostic for the word prayer. I think this is a good reminder what prayer is. Prayer is first of all praising. We praise God. We give Him glory. We exalt Him. We praise Him. But it is also repenting of any wrong that may be in our hearts. Anything that keeps us from being right with God, having a right relationship with God, we must repent of that. And then we ask. We ask. So many times that's the first thing we do. We come to prayer, we ask. We forget the first two steps in coming to prayer. We're entering into the presence of God. We praise Him. We repent. We ask. And then we yield. It's so important. We really see this in the Lord's Prayer. That we praise, we repent, we ask, and we yield. My will to God's will. My agenda to God's agenda for me. We yield to God's will. We yield, God, Your will be done. your agenda, your will. And then the Spirit of Christ's challenge. When the crowds heard Samaria had accepted the Word of God. Hear what the Spirit said. When the crowds heard, they heard, they gladly received the message of Jesus Christ, that Jesus was the Messiah, that He was the Christ that had died for our sins. He rose again the third day. They received that message. And Samaria had accepted the Word of God. They received it into their hearts. We're reminded of the verse, always be joyful. 1 Thessalonians 5:16. It was where, accept Jesus Christ as our Savior. The Lord Jesus Christ saves us, but we're to always, always be joyful in our hearts. No matter what pain you may be experiencing. I heard today, I was saddened by this. I got a message today. One of my classmates in college, or not college, but high school classmate, had passed away just yesterday. And so we need to remember this. That joy, always, always be joyful. And then we're also reminded of this. Kay Warren has written a book. It's called Choose Joy Because Happiness Isn't Enough. Pastor Rick Warren's wife, Kay Joy, has written this book. And it's a good reminder to us. Each day, I choose joy. I choose to rejoice in the Lord. I choose to follow Him. I choose joy. So many people are in the pursuit of happiness, but happiness isn't enough. They go after this to find happiness and it doesn't satisfy. They go after that to find happiness and it doesn't satisfy. Choose joy. And so we're reminded that this is what we should do. And so, last of all, I want you to think about this. Jesus had sowed the seed in Samaria to the Samaritan woman at the well and declared to her that He was the Messiah. Jesus also said that the sower and the reaper may be glad together. Jesus and the Samaritan woman did the hard work that you, Philip, reaped the benefits of their labor. And because many of the Samaritans from the town believed in Him because of the woman's testimony and many because of the words they'd heard from Jesus became believers and knew that He is the Savior of the world. Now, John 15:11 reminds us of this. I have spoken these things to you that your joy may be full. Maybe you're emotionally, you say, well, I don't have any happiness in my life. You're seeking the wrong things. You're empty. But you need to be seeking God's joy. He can fill your tank with God's joy. I have a scroll that I put over the door. Goes like this, look up and see joy. But we don't look up the mountain. We don't just look at the mountain like the Samaritans. Oh, look at Mount Gerizim where we've got all those blessings. We look beyond the mountain. We look to God Himself and His Spirit that gives us joy. And through Jesus Christ, we look up and we see joy. Let's close in prayer. Father, we thank You for Your Word that reminds us that happiness is temporary. It's that this world, it depends upon our circumstances. And we know that our circumstances are always changing. But Father, we need to remember that joy is depending upon God. And we need to remember that You have told us that these things were spoken that our joy might be full. And we need to lift up our eyes to look beyond the mountains and to see You, the fullness of joy through Jesus Christ and the Spirit of God filling our hearts that we can have joy. Father, I pray that our hearts might be full of joy. Whatever we're going through, that we might experience joy even in pain. joy even in tears, joy even in difficulties. Because of that, we might be a witness to others, that joy might fill our city. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.